Hello, and welcome back to the Fascinating Jobs Podcast. I'm your host, Mackenzie Wilson. On this episode of the podcast, I'm sitting down with Mel Ava Creative, a creative business strategist, to talk about all things entrepreneurship. As always, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen so that way we can grow our community. With that, let's get into episode number 12 with Mel. Welcome back. Today my guest is Mel Ava Creative. So hi Mel, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
No problem. So would you like to give a brief introduction to yourself and to your job?
Absolutely. So my name is Melody, but I go by Mel Ava. I'm a creative business strategist for aspiring, hustling and scaling entrepreneurs, but generally with a focus on women.
Absolutely. Yeah. So how did you discover the field of entrepreneurship?
You know, like weirdly, pretty naturally. I have actually been in like the corporate kind of creative strategy area for like 10 years. And the last gig I had was like being a contractor for really big companies like, I don't know if you've ever heard of Deepak Chopra, but he's kind of like this meditation guru, but he started all these different companies and I worked for him and some other big like authors and like motivational people. And as a contractor, I just realized my passion was actually for like helping these entrepreneurs grow their businesses, but their businesses were already like eight figures. So I was kind of like, they don't really need my help as much as, you know, somebody starting out does. So I really just kind of took my 10 years experience and turned it into a business, like generally speaking. So it was actually a really natural transition for me, but I'm not going to lie, definitely a scary one.
Yeah, you're kind of just like taking off and like starting your own new business, which I'm sure like you can probably relate to as a lot of your clients are like, you know, taking the time and starting something new.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what does creative strategy entail in terms of starting a business?
So creative strategy actually means a lot of different things. But first and foremost, it means, you know, taking the idea that you have or potentially finding the idea. A lot of people actually think, oh, I have so many ideas, but they have a lot of trouble figuring out which one's actually viable in the market. So taking those ideas and then creating really, really strong foundations that give you the possibility to be like innovative and unique so that you can actually stand out, which in something that's like a usually crowded marketplace. Because at this point, like, you know, the online availability of starting a business is huge, right? And almost anybody with any common sense can go online and create some kind of fake, you know, like template or something from a website, right?
Yeah.
So you can have a business, technically speaking, in a matter of minutes, but that just doesn't mean it's going to work. So creative strategy kind of takes the aspects of figuring out what's going to make that work, how your idea is going to stand out, and how it's going to be viable and survive, especially past that first like 6 months to a year, which are always usually the hardest for an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I would say that probably the first 3 months are the hardest actually. But you know, and that's obviously a very broad term of what creative strategy means, but it has so many facets to it, but those are like the big targets.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's kind of like a good overview of kind of like what we'll be delving deeper into as we go further in our conversation. So you were mentioning how like the first step is to kind of find a business idea that's good enough to like actually work as a real business. So how do you decide whether or not like a given business idea will be viable or not viable?
Oh, yes, such a good question. So many ways, but again, to make it more succinct, there are a few things that I immediately look for. And one of them is definitely going to be like, let's make sure that this idea is rooted in something super personal. Because if there's a connection to the entrepreneur and the idea, it's just going to be that much easier for you as the entrepreneur to stick with the idea and not accidentally go, ooh, but I'm also good at this. Ooh, but what about this, right? Because that's actually something that plagues entrepreneurs, because that spirit has kind of that shiny object syndrome problem. So definitely a personal value. And then next, I usually look at the experience that the person has. So is your experiences through life in any way the reason that you're creating this? Like, maybe it's personal because of a family member, but did you experience something with them that's actually giving you this idea, right? So an experiential status around the idea. And then I also look to see if other people are doing it. A lot of people are like, but I want to be the only one. And that's great that someone would feel that way. But oftentimes, if nobody else is doing it, there's typically a reason why. Maybe that it doesn't work. So if there isn't anyone doing it, I try to look for ways in which it fits into a market, right? Where maybe they didn't see it fitting into a market, and we figure out a way to actually make it fit in. And then determining if it solves a problem. Does it solve something? And then can you scale it, right? And those are all things that you need to know immediately when creating an idea. And then, just besides that, kind of once you've got that idea in place, you would want to do things like, looking at the forecasting for those ideas, and what's the vision and the prediction that it has in the future? Market research, right? Determine if people are searching for what you actually have to offer. Is there competition? Are you evaluating the growth of this prototype or idea? And then, of course, if you have access to it, then customer insights are amazing. But then also, I think lastly, a foundational business map. So actually like knowing your start to finish, at least for the first three to 6 months.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of seems like what you're saying here is you could just kind of go through like a rough like small business plan for each idea and then
absolutely
kind of narrow it down through there.
Cool. Absolutely. Yeah.
Awesome. So then you were mentioning how like if there's, you want to look for if there are other businesses already in the market. So mm-hmm. if there's already like a competitor that maybe has like a super similar idea to mm-hmm. what the business idea is, like, do you want to try and like go close to that, or like do you want to try and like modify it and like make it a bit more unique?
Yes, I'm so glad you said that, actually, because we all have our like funny little pet peeves, right, as people, and mine in business is people copying other people, because I get how hard it is as an entrepreneur. You're like, oh, but that person has good ideas and they say it really well or whatever. And you're like, I could just use that. But the problem is that it like doesn't speak to your authenticity. So yes, you do want to look at your competition, but you actually almost want to like reverse engineer what they're missing that you have. It's like, why are they missing it? What are they missing? How are you different? And like, that's a huge one, right? Like, how are you the same and how are you different? And then if you were like, I always tell people to put on their auditor's hat, like put on the like auditor's thinking cap and go look at someone's business that's a competitor, someone that you aspire to be even, and audit their business from top to bottom. I'm talking everything, ideas, programs, books, PDFs, their freebies they're giving away, the colors, their customers, what they say, if they have a personal social media account, and if they have a business one, what are the similarities in those two things? What are the differences? Like, you would be surprised what you'll find from that'll actually give you the ability to totally differentiate yourself from them and stand fully apart, and potentially even work together as collaborators later on, because you're so different, but you're so similar, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you bring up a good point that you can like collaborate with other people who are kind of in your similar industry or niche later, which would be
yes.
kind of like a good tool to grow your own business.
Yes, absolutely. So effective.
Yeah, definitely. So I think that's like a perfect segue into what I was going to ask you next, which is what are some of the most like effective ways to kind of like grow a business?
Yeah, absolutely. Partnerships are huge always.
Yeah.
And like there's going to be more to this. Like it's definitely an onion that you have to like peel through as you're growing as an entrepreneur, but immediately collabs, partnerships, and reaching out to anyone and everyone that you think you could talk to about anything. Podcasts, right? Like reach out to a podcast, talk on a podcast, tell people what you're doing, find other publications and media materials that are really cool that you're like, oh, I like what they're doing. That's a cool vibe. I want to like talk to them more about it. And then always market research based on your own skills, talents, and passions. Like I can't stress that enough. If it doesn't contain some kind of skill, talent, or passion that you have, you're just going to get burned out. Like it's just too hard.
Yeah, absolutely. And I totally get that. Like I've actually like, you know, worked in a group. We wrote like a whole small business plan once for a school project. So I totally understand like doing all the different like research and then like the marketing plan and the ours was like a cafe slash bookstore. So, you know, we were like looking at Starbucks and everything. But like a lot of the stuff that you're saying is like so relevant to, I think, just like other things that I've done before. And I definitely agree that like the market research was probably the hardest part of the process, but it was also like the part that like made us really think like, oh, well, how are we different from like Barnes and Noble or any other? Yeah, I remember like the parents had to come in to like, you know, they like were given some like monopoly money and they would come and invest in all our businesses. And that was our biggest pitfall in that everybody thought we were too similar to Barnes and Noble. But
see, that's terrible. Did you ever like figure out in that experience how you were actually different than them? Because it sounds like you were. I can feel in your voice that you definitely were.
Yeah, actually, like it was kind of interesting. I mean, like we were only maybe like 13 when we did this, so it wasn't like the best business plan. But like our whole idea was that like we were creating like kind of a communal space for people to like come and hang out and study. And like we had like, I think we had like some sort of tutoring program set up. But yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah, it was, like, kind of a cool idea. But, yeah, a lot of things you were just saying just really reminded me of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that I just said something that made you think of something that you did when you were 13. I love that. Like, what an entrepreneur. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely, like, super cool experience. So, yeah, so I think that this kind of, like, segues into the next part of our discussion. So how do you generally, like, after you kind of have the business idea, how do you generally get started in creating your business first?
Yes. Okay. So this is super important, too. So you have the idea, you've done all your research, and you know your idea is viable, and you're like, cool, what's next? So next step, 100%. Get really, really clear on who you are showing up in the business. So your personal brand as the entrepreneur in the business. And I think that something to consider here is that your personal brand doesn't necessarily equate to your business brand. Like those are not the same things. So first you work on your personal brand. Like who are you in your business? How are you showing up in it? What's like your persona in your business? Are you just like 100% yourself? Are you showing like your business side and also your funny side? Like who are you? And then second, figure out how your business is showing up in the market. So this is actually something that's called like an archetype. So it's like a marketing archetype and you figure out like how you're showing up. Are you the hero? Are you like here to motivate us and help us save the day? Are you, you know, the outlaw that's like, you know, shaking things up and creating revolutions. Like, who are you? And who is your business? And then, but from that area, figure out like how you're showing up visually to your clients. So that's all about like branding and all that like beautiful stuff, like fonts and logos and all those great things. And be really solid on that, at least for the first 3 months. Like rebranding yourself later is totally fine, but at least for the first 3 months, like have like a pretty good idea of what you want to look like for a minute. And then from there, the next most important thing is showing up as an authority in however you're showing up, whether it's your website or your social media or whatever it is that you're like launching first to promote yourself as this new entrepreneur in this new business. Be really clear on how you are the authority, how you're the expert, how you're going to tell people what you do, right? That's actually something so many people forget about. It's like they forget that people are going to be like, well, what does she do? Or what does he do? Or what do they do? Like you want to know as a consumer what someone's going to give you. And a lot of times what they're giving you isn't like, people don't convey that accurately. They're saying like, oh, I'm going to help you design a great website. It's like, but is that's the tangible like result, right? Or almost tangible. And that's not what you're really giving them though. You're giving them peace of mind that they no longer have to sit around and scramble to try to figure out how to create a beautiful designed website, like, which is frustrating, which causes them to lose a lot of time with their friends and their family, maybe lack of sleep. Like there's always an emotional driver behind that. So you have to like figure all that stuff out. And then, you can, I know it sounds like a lot, but honestly, this isn't that much. But you do all of these great steps, which actually help you determine if you're even going to be able to take this business to market, because I've actually talked to a lot of people that do these steps and then they call me and they're like, well, it turns out I don't care about this enough. So, which is great news. Like you want to know that before you've invested a year of your life into trying to make a business work. So, get through all these great steps and then pick your channel, right? Like pick your channel. Are you launching online? If you are, which is highly recommended in today's global situation, pick a channel. Are you gonna launch on YouTube or Facebook, or are you gonna be a Pinterest person? Are you gonna be on LinkedIn? Like, pick a channel and stick with it. Don't jump channels. Don't try to split your time between the Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and try to like do them all, because you're gonna do them kind of not as good if you were just doing one, you know? Those are the key things I would recommend first. And then obviously once you pick your channel, you've already got your passion and your idea and you know how you sound and you know how you're gonna show up, right? And unfortunately, so many people do it backwards. They go, ooh, I have an idea. Let's go create Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. And they create all these accounts because it makes them feel a sense of accomplishment. Oh, I've done something that shows that my idea is valid and actually has been created now. And that's great. I love that there's ambition and persistence and all of that there. But then it's crickets. And then you're like, crapola, I don't know what I'm going to do next. Like, what am I supposed to talk about? How am I going to get people to actually want to spend money with me? Like, you know, but if you have all that other stuff figured out first, then you don't have to worry about it. You just become this like content creation machine and you don't care about what people are saying and you don't care about your competition because now you're the one your competition needs to worry about.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's like a really good point that you bring up. It's something that I think that you even point out that like not a lot of people think to do to kind of like define themselves mm-hmm. and like figure that out first before just kind of like jumping the gun and going right to the social media, because that's like a big thing in the podcasting game too. People say that like don't have your first episode be like super bad, because that's where people start to look at like where you are like at the beginning.
Oh yeah, that is true. And you have like a footprint like forever. Good for you. I mean, all of your episodes are really good. I've enjoyed them immensely myself.
Oh, thank you so much. Wow, it's so gratifying when people say that they're enjoying the show, you know, as small as we may be right now.
Hey, everyone started somewhere. I mean, have you seen pictures of like Jeff Bezos starting like Amazon in a basement?
I know, that gives all of us hope that we can one day be the next Amazon.
I know.
What I would give, but... So you were mentioning kind of how you're creating like a personal brand and a logo. So is that something that you recommend the business owner like does themselves, or should they like seek the help of like a professional, such as like a graphic designer or a website designer to help them with that?
So I go back and forth here, right? Because so many entrepreneurs are super skilled and multifaceted and multi-talented, and that's so great. And there's so many incredible platforms nowadays to build and create and design even as like a novice, even as like just a beginner at whatever you're doing, there's so many things out there that can help you actually do those things yourself. What I always recommend to people is to make a list of the things that you're actually good at. And I tell people to do this in private alone and to like drop their egos for a minute, because a lot of people will be like, I'm good at everything. And it's difficult because you want to be, right? You don't want to ever say to yourself, I'm not, you know, good at this. But the number one best thing you can do is to be totally honest with yourself on things that you're good at and things that you're not. Actually, one of the like, not to like talk about other really big dude businesses, but one of my favorites is Richard Branson of Virgin Airlines, and obviously a very wealthy individual. And he, one of the most famous things that he said is that a really smart business person surrounds themselves with smarter people. And so for myself, I'm actually really terrible at sitting down to write copy. Like, I'm just like not interested. I'm not super good at it. So I hired someone to help me. Like, I'm like, you know what? I'm cool with saying I'm not super good at that. I don't have a lot of time to devote to it. So if I'm going to be able to spread my message super clearly and super effectively, I'm going to hire someone. Now, I think that goes for every entrepreneur. You should sit down, get super real with yourself and be like, okay, out of the logos and websites and copywriting and branding and business itself, the idea, the scalability of it, my marketing and visibility plan, social media, which things are you really comfortable with? Which things are you really good at? And which of those things do you think you definitely need help with? Because I think the other thing to remember is there are a lot of people out there that will tell you starting a business is really cheap and you can do it for free. They are absolutely lying. I hate to say that because maybe there's like one out of every billion people that actually accomplishes that with the right connections or something, you know, they like happen to be best friends with Kim Kardashian or something, right? So it's like they all of a sudden rise to fame, but that's not most people. Most people don't have that. So you're going to have help. So if you know you want to be in business, save up some money, have at least $500 to $1,000 to invest in your business immediately, and decide which of those things you can do yourself and which of those things you need to find someone to help you with. Because putting all the pressure on yourself to do it by yourself is something that entrepreneurs tend to do. And like, we just don't have to do it that way, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you raise a good point that like you should kind of have some sort of like business fund or something like that and budget like right from the start of your business, because that seems like it's probably one of the most difficult parts of like keeping up with the business is kind of like paying for everything and then figuring out like what you should spend on and what you shouldn't spend on and all sorts of things.
Oh God, yes. I mean, the amount of tiny little softwares that you need nowadays, it's like, oh, you can just be a member for $5 a month. And then all of a sudden you've got 15 of them and you're like, oh my God. No, absolutely. Right. I totally get it. So you gotta have like a little nest egg or be really full of gumption and put it on credit. Like some people do that. I had a woman I helped, had no money and she put her entire business on credit, and woman is doing great now. Like she's making like 30K a month. So it can happen sometimes, right? Like that can happen, but just know your own like personal boundaries on what you can spend and what you can't and what the most important things are to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially during the pandemic, I know it's been like kind of harder for people to like, I guess, start these things. So that would kind of like segue into my next question, which is, I know, I love this. It like just keeps going.
Yeah.
One thing to the next. This is so perfect. So yeah. So has starting a business become easier or harder during the pandemic?
You know, I think that it's, mixed bag, right? So I think that in some ways it's almost like jolted this vision into people's faces where they're like, holy moly, it's now or never. Like, I've never had a more pressing opportunity to do the business or create the business I've always wanted to have, that I've always wanted to be remote and I've always wanted to do it online, or like, you know, those individuals that have always had that in the back of their head, this is like the grand awakening that they're like, oh, I need to do this now. And then for other people, I think it's, you know, it's sadly pushing them into the choice of whether or not they are going to do this for themselves, or if they're not, and they're going to unfortunately have to take jobs they don't want to have, you know. And it's, we need both people in the world. We need people that are going to do the jobs that not everyone wants to do, and we need people to wake up and become entrepreneurs and find ways so that those people don't have to do those jobs, right? Like, we need both people right now. So I think that the pandemic in general has just so many layers. Like, it's put people into this corner where if you do have the entrepreneurial spirit, you now have the ability to join into a marketplace that is definitely going to be very different 5 years from now. Because, and if you are not already set up as a super clean, super clear entrepreneur in your space, standing out in your field, it's going to be much harder in 5 years. And I know there's a lot of people that will disagree with me, and I'm super cool with that and open to discussion. But I do believe that this is going to saturate our online space even more than it has before, just because we don't have a choice, right? Like, so many businesses are going to have to be put online. So if you are an online or remote entrepreneur, your marketplace just got way more saturated really quickly. So if you're going to stand out, you need to make sure your idea stands out, and that you stand out, and that you're different from the crowd. But I think that in general, COVID and the global situation and situations that are going to happen in really short amount of time from now to us that are not just the pandemic, like climate change and everything else that could potentially happen here, it's all coming for us. So if you are an entrepreneurial spirit, I would say now is like kind of your sign. like you should see it as a sign to put your family and yourself in a situation where this doesn't have to be scary for you going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's kind of also a good time to start a business if you have like more time, because you're just at
yes.
all the day.
And absolutely.
Yeah, and this also reminds me of how so many people have been getting dogs during the pandemic.
Yeah.
People that have gotten dogs.
I kind of love that though.
Yes.
I'm so glad people are like seeking companionship and like getting puppies. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's kind of amazing.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny, and I guess people think that like if they're home, then like, you know, they can just like be home to watch the dog and
yeah.
But yeah, I know. It was so funny. I feel like, you know, April hit and everybody was just like, oh, guess what? I got a new dog.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah. So, so I think this kind of like is a good transition to our next topic, which is kind of like all about social media. So how important do you think social media is to starting/growing a business?
Definitely another polarizing topic. Love your polarizing questions. Because, I mean, it's true. Like, I'm giving my opinion, right? And everyone has their own. I actually don't believe that it's mandatory. I do believe that it can be a phenomenal way to spark interest and make connections and collaborate with people. Just to give you an idea, I've been in business since roughly February. I broke free from my last contract and started my own thing in February. It was actually very easy for me. I'm not going to say it was hard, like most people struggle with, because I had a client already, which is what spurred me to start my own business. So I had my first client before I had even started. That's why I started. So just a teensy bit easier for me than most people. But that in itself started my business, and I was not on social media in any shape, form, or fashion. I'm actually one of the very unusual people that decided not to partake in social media when it came out. And haven't really for like the last 10 years. Like, I've been on a guest appearance on a few, you know, friends, and my face is definitely on it. and it is now. I did start one for fun actually like a month ago. And it's been fun. I've been enjoying it because I've just like met really nice people from around the world, and there's been some fun collaborations. And like I've found someone found me. I mean, I don't even have a lot of followers, so I don't try that hard. But I do think for a lot of people, it can be phenomenal. Like I've had clients that who are, you know, they've, surprisingly enough, you don't need as many followers as people think you need to make money off of social media. I will tell you that if you have 200, 500, less than 1,000, like you could potentially be running a six-figure business behind the scenes and people don't even realize it. I think something that's kind of actually, I don't know what's really happened with our brains, but something has happened in the shape of social media where we see someone on social media and we see their profile and maybe they have like, you know, 10 or 20 posts or something, and we look at each one and maybe they've only got, I don't know what a lot of a likes is, but maybe they've got like 30 or 50 or something. And then that you look at their followers and they've got less than 500, you immediately form an opinion of that person based on that page or post or whatever, right? You go, they don't have a lot of followers. They don't have a lot of likes. Clearly, they are just not good enough. And they're not the person for me. And that's like just not really true. Like so many businesses have these incredible behind the scenes from social media where they're running these epic businesses and people don't even realize that on social media. So, you know, I think it can be polarizing. Like I said, like you could be someone who, I mean, I do have a friend on social media who has like almost 200,000 followers, and definitely that's her full-time job. Full-time job. She works more than I do. Also, she's really anxious and stressed all the time. So I'm not sure that I want to be there, but, she makes a great living from it. Although now she's kind of like just a commercial all the time. Like she's just always a commercial for something, but, and she'll agree with me. She's just like, she's always advertising like face wash or chocolate or I don't know, all kinds of things. So she's just one big commercial, and I'm not really interested in that anymore. So my interest in social media has become less in just a few months of being on it. I think it's actually something that's morphing almost just back into like cable TV, which nobody wants. So I personally believe that it's going to have to change dramatically or become something else to be a super, super valid way to start a business. I think that also, if you look at the numbers of social media, like if you're not just starting it for fun, that's going to be a problem, because there's like billions of people on Facebook and Instagram alone, like billions of people. And you're going to, start a page on your business and just assume it's going to like skyrocket? You're going to have such a strong plan behind that, and potentially a social media manager to help you with that before it's going to actually manifest into something brilliant. So I think social media can be important to a business today, but I don't think it needs to be the very thing that people are relying on. And I've seen that so many times. I get clients and they're like, I started an Instagram page and now I still don't have any clients. And I'm like, what? Like, that's not a business plan, silly. So I just think in today's market, it's really important not to just totally believe that you can start something on social media and become a full-time entrepreneur. I believe you need to have so many other things in place, and social media needs to be something fun that you do for fun, that you do out of enjoyment. You want to shake things up and speak your truth and post cute quotes. I think it's so fun for that. I love it for all of that. I love it for all of the fun things that people share. But I don't think it should be something that you put all of your like self-confidence onto.
Yeah, absolutely. And I totally agree. And I think that this kind of goes back to what we were talking about before, how like the business should come first and then the social media second, because I feel like I've seen on TikTok, especially, like people can kind of blow up like super fast.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe they just kind of started their own like Etsy shop, but now they want to like mm-hmm. make a whole business, and they've already got like, you know, 100,000 people ordering their mm-hmm. thing, and they just like have no infrastructure to like
make absolutely that. Or sustain it, right? There, that's going to be such a problem if they don't have a super cool business mentor coming on in to swoop them up, because they're going to literally, literally serious, because they're going to have this incredible spike of success in their life. And then the moment that they have nowhere for anyone to go going further, or they have no idea how to streamline their operations to actually sustain a growth of what just occurred, which is basically considered abnormal in business. And all these people that they've now have, they don't have anywhere for them to go next. So, you just made a bunch of money off of this, I don't know, scrunchy store or something. And because I've seen that actually happen. Mm-hmm. And that's great. But then all of a sudden, they're like, okay, everyone's bored with that. Like, what now? Like, what are you going to do now? And they quit their jobs. And they're like thinking, this is it. They're going to be millionaires forever. And there's always going to be somebody new on TikTok. Right? So there's always going to be somebody new on Instagram and on Facebook and on YouTube. And yes, the important thing is to show up and be out there and put your face out there and be visible and speak your truth and talk about your business. That's great. It just does. That should not be your first goal. Your first goal should be infrastructure, foundations, ideas, sustainability, scalability, and making your life easier, because you don't want to wake up, you know, with a panic attack about your social media account. You want to wake up going, I know exactly what I'm doing today, and I'm only working till 1. And you want to be an entrepreneur that gets to live the lifestyle that an entrepreneur is working so hard to create for themselves, which is freedom and flexibility and money and time and all the fun stuff that you want to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think that's like kind of just like a super important topic to kind of just like think about your like actual business idea, because like you mentioned, like customers and consumers kind of get bored with like viral things. I feel like they go so quickly now. Like, there's mm-hmm. different stuff every week, every day even. So yeah. Just like trying to stay like relevant is
very yes. important. Yes. And our attention spans are like, oh my God. I mean, compared to what they used to be. I mean, I don't know what it is for social media, but the average person spends 4 seconds on someone's website, 4 seconds before they leave it. That's why you literally have to have you have to be so strong in your idea and your convictions and your messaging and how you are like showing up as this like standout person, because you have 4 seconds to capture somebody, to keep them on your page, to keep scrolling. And if you're not hitting them like in their heart or in their gut, emotionally speaking, they're going to leave and forget that you existed because someone else is on TikTok with a new dance, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. So I think that the next kind of like topic section I'd like to move into is just talking about like, you know, teens or people who are like kind of balancing school, but they also want to maybe like start their own business or kind of, yeah, like start their own business. So like, what are some tips that you'd have for like teens specifically to kind of manage like starting a business, but then they also obviously have to attend school as well. So what's kind of, if you have some time management tips for that?
Yeah. I think most importantly is, this is actually something that I did when I was working on my ideas for the business. I was still full-time at, you know, in that very early stage. I was still full-time when I was thinking about my ideas and foundations and just like the thoughts around it. And I always just made sure to set aside at least 3 hours a week to just write. And I do not mean type. I mean like buy an old school notebook and have a pen or a pencil. I know I sound like a caveman right now, but like our beings and our like subconscious and conscious mind haven't truly evolved to be able to type and like get all of our thoughts and our emotions out just by typing, especially when it's personal. Now, if you're writing a story, that's very different because you're writing it from a very conscious mind. Like you have a target, right? If you're like writing a paper for school, you could do it on your computer, no problem. But we're talking about like personal and emotional connections to your business. So if you're a teen and you're going to school and or you're in college and you're like, okay, I want to start a business. I know I have that entrepreneurial spirit. The most important thing I can say is at least spend 1 to 3 hours a week on reflecting yourself and what you have to offer as a person. You know, your skills, your passions, your talents, what your natural gifts. I always tell people, you know, if someone was to come to you and say, hey, I want you to write a book on this. Like, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? What topics do you think you could write like a little mini book on right now? What are you so passionate about that you could write a book on? Those are typically things that you have some kind of connection to, that you probably have some kind of skill or knowledge behind. And oftentimes, those are where the best business ideas come from, is you're solving a problem from something that you feel a deep connection to. And especially when you're a teen, you want to make sure that that's part of it. Because if it's not, I mean, my attention span is still really small. So I remember how it was when I was like, you know, in high school or in college, like my attention span was like a hummingbird. I was like all over the place. So you want to make sure you have that connection to it and that you totally and passionately love it. And then once you have that, you can start working on how you're going to show up. Like, are you going to build social media as your first step? And if you are, that's obviously a really, really easy, accessible and attainable solution for you as a teen. So pick your channel, right? And there's nothing wrong in the early stages of something like this with just asking your friends and family, what do you think I should be doing? Here are the list of things that I love. Here are the list of ideas I have. What do you think I should pursue? If you don't like what they have to say, which I always had a problem with everything my family and friends had to say, then go say it on YouTube, right? Go on YouTube and be like, tell me what you think in the comments. Like, I don't know, start getting strangers' opinions and start to develop your idea from just those fun experiences. And don't be afraid to have a partner, right? Don't be afraid to like work with a friend who compliments you but is different than you. That I can't stress that enough. So many friends who are so similar get into business and then it doesn't work because both of them have so many similarities that they have the same things about themselves that they don't like in each other. So they butt heads and then it falls apart. So in order to avoid that, find somebody that is so different from you but you still get along with and you still have respect for and start a business with them. Start it locally in your neighborhood. Right? Just in your neighborhood or in your school, or go to your like local chamber of commerce and tell them what you're doing and ask them if you think it's a good idea. They know every business in your town. Every business in your town has to register with them. So they're going to know if it's a good idea or not. And they're also going to be able to help you with how to actually get the business set up, how to get like the legal part of it set up, you know, the LLC or whatever it is you're going to be creating. And when you have these like little things in place, which shouldn't take you more than 1 to 3 hours a week, you know, for a couple of months, you could potentially be leaving high school or being in college and have your own business up and running without the stress that so many adults later in life have on it because they have so many responsibilities. Honestly, if I could say anything to teens, I'd be like, do it now. Seriously, get ahead of all the people that you are up against when you're in your 20s and when you're in your 30s and 40s. Like, so many people wait until they're in their 40s to start a business. And by that point, they may have families and debt and obligations. And it's very hard. Also, by that point, you have a lot of unfortunate limiting beliefs that have been given to you through your life that make it harder. So, man, if I was a teen, I'd be like, do it now, like do it right now.
Absolutely. And I think that's like really good advice to just kind of like reach out and just like use the resources that are already available in your community because,
yes.
Yeah. Actually, I was just talking to a girl last night. We were talking about just kind of like, you know, she works in the government. So we were talking about like different resources for voters, but she was telling me about a lot of stuff that like the government publishes online or like resources that you can go to that are like readily available that not a lot of people know.
Yes, there are grants. There are grants. I promise you, anyone listening to this, whatever state you're in, whatever town you're in, your chamber of commerce or your local city annex office, tax assessor's office, all anybody knows about the grants and like funding, angel investors, people know about those individuals at those places. And those are resources that every entrepreneur needs. You know, even better if you're young and that money can be used wisely going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I think this kind of like just is a good segue into my final question for you tonight.
Yeah.
Is what characteristics do you think that good entrepreneurs have?
Yes. Okay. Number one would be creativity. Like, and I don't necessarily mean you can like draw. I just mean in general, you're always trying to find a way to create something in some way that's either going to help someone or provide some kind of service, right? You are creative, but the heart behind it is passionate and is really focused on helping somebody. Because in everything that we do, products, coaching, consulting, every business is meant to make all of our lives easier in some form or fashion. So really just looking at, you know, what do you have to offer, right? So like the characteristics of a good entrepreneur are looking at your own characteristics as an individual and being like, ooh, this is what I bring to the table. This is how I can bring it creatively. And making sure that, you know, you are interested in basically disrupting what's already existing. Like you're kind of a rebel in some ways. Like you're creative, but you're also like, I can do it better, right? Like you've at least had the thought once of, I could do that, but I could do it better, right? Mm-hmm. And not only did you think that, but you also at least in some form or fashion had the idea of how to do it better and what you would do differently. And if you have those kind of feelings, then you're already ahead of a lot of people. And that already kind of signifies that you're an entrepreneur. And I don't think there really is a lot of good and bad entrepreneurs. I think there's the well-informed and the well-planned and the uninformed and the people with lack of a plan. So I don't really think there's like good or bad like I think if you're an entrepreneur, you could be polar opposite to me and still be really cool and a great entrepreneur. We just might be different, right? And if you're doing things that entrepreneurs should do, which is have a plan, make sure your idea is valid, make sure the market wants it, all those great things we've talked about, then I really think that you're going to be able to succeed, especially if you're someone who just sees opportunity. Like, number one characteristic, probably. if you see opportunity, you're an entrepreneurial spirit already.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I think that's like really good advice in just kind of like looking for what your strengths are, because I think in the entrepreneurial field, especially as we've kind of been talking about, like it's important to kind of like stand out and be unique. So
Absolutely.
What makes you special? Not to sound too cliche there.
No, seriously though. Well, you have to stand out in a crowded marketplace. And the only way you're going to do that is by being exactly who you are. Because you're the only one of you. So,
yeah, definitely. And I think that this is a good place to kind of wrap up our discussion for today. Thank you so much for joining me. I had such a fun time talking with you today, and I learned so
much.
Yeah,
me too. I loved it. Thank you for having me.
No problem. A special thanks to Mel Ava for joining me today. You can check her out at www.melavacreative.com. And you can check out this podcast on our website, www.fascinatingjobs.xyz, or on Instagram at @fascinating_jobs_pod, or on Twitter at @fascinatingjobs. I'm always looking for fan questions, plus there's plenty of good discussion and updates about the show. Tag me with any questions or comments, and be sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to this podcast to let me know you're enjoying it. And if you or someone you know has a fascinating job, email us at fascinatingjobspod@gmail.com for a chance to be a guest on the show. Thank you so much for listening and enjoying this podcast, and I'll see you in the next episode.